Hello, everybody. This is Brian. As always, we have a video version of today's episode on our Patreon, patreon.com/latenight. Also, as we discuss in the show, there's a new Starbomb song for our first new song in 5 years available on the Ego Raptor channel right now and on streaming. And also next weekend, NSP's 15th anniversary concert, an online stream thing with us, Twerp, Super Guitar Bros, and Aaron for doing a few Starbomb songs. So go to moment.co/NSP for that. Enjoy the show. It's a really fun one. There's some good stuff. There's some good stuff in here. So, hey, let's have fun with this.
I was born ready. I woke up this morning ready to fucking rock.
Do you want to talk about how you woke up yesterday morning?
Yeah, I was.
Because I think this is a great story.
I woke up at 5 a.m., which normally I would be excited about. The problem is that I woke up in the process of vomiting.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know how or why or what, but I thankfully was on my side because I was awake, you know, the very quick sequence of events of like conscious vomiting and then being like, oh, I'm gonna be so fucking mad if I Jane for Breaking Bad myself like this.
It must have been a horrible feeling.
Oh, awful. Thankfully I have like a trash can next to my bed.
That's your dog.
Yes. No, that's the trash can. Yes. That sleeps with me and is presently on my lap. So yeah, I just kind of like stumbled up and continued. It was coming out of my nose, and so like the rest of the morning, I was like, I did like a little bit more vomit, but just out of like, there's vomit in my sinuses.
Just a gentleman's amount of vomit after.
Yes.
The initial yes.
And as with any, I was so fucking wiped out after it. And like the adrenaline of like, why am I vomiting? I am only just now awake. What the fuck is happening? So that was fun. That didn't happen again this morning.
And you texted me about it.
I did.
Fairly short. Well, I guess not that shortly after.
No,
that,
it was like
a couple hours.
While. Yeah.
But I was up. I feel like it was around 7 a.m.
Yeah, probably.
Because I was up with Audrey getting ready for school. But yeah.
Well, it was a situation where like I had an early morning meeting and then an appointment that I needed to go to, and I ended up having to cancel the appointment. And on the meeting, I just acted like everything was fine.
Perfect.
Just, you know, because I'm a young professional and I'm functional and paying attention in this meeting that
yes.
I do not intend to immediately go to sleep after.
Even. Would you call yourself a yuppie, a young urban puker?
Yep.
There it is. That's what it stands for now. Urbane. I always thought urbane would be better. Young urbane professional.
Take it up with, that's basically why American Psycho was written, right?
Well, why? Explain that, please.
Oh, because it's such a seminal, like anti-yuppie text. I mean, that's kind of the core
of sure.
the satire.
Yes, that it's anti-yuppie. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. You know, I grew up in, as I may have mentioned, North Jersey, which is 30 miles from Manhattan in the 80s. So I was right there during the heart of yuppiedom. I basically was there when American Psycho happened. And of course, I was young and had no idea. But it's crazy to me to think that I was like right next to where all that yuppie shit was happening. All the junk
American
bonds.
American Psycho is a documentary.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. They had to get my permission.
God bless that movie. That movie could have been terrible. And it's one of the best.
100%. Yeah. Did I tell you how I saw it? I was with a friend in San Diego, and we were like, not pre-internet, but smartphones. And it was like, let's just drive to the movie theater. This is probably, when did it come out? 90?
The movie?
Yeah. Is it 99?
2001.
Yeah, okay. That's not about right. So we're just driving around. And we're like, hey, let's go to the movie theater and see what's playing. We get to this movie theater. I believe it was the Mission Valley 8 in San Diego. And it's like American Psycho was starting in 10 minutes. Great. We saw it in the theater because why the hell not? And I was like, this is maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was so, especially to just like walk in. I didn't know the book ahead of time. I think I knew maybe it was based on a book and I had heard a little bit about it. But this is also Christian Bale is not like in his super fame era. He's kind of, he's not an unknown because he was a child actor, but he's like an up and comer, right? So we don't really know anyone in this movie. And it, what a surprise, what a lovely surprise to walk into a theater and see that. I have a friend with the opposite experience where he walked into a theater and said, hey, let's see what's playing, and went to see The Lady in the Water, one of the worst M. Night Shyamalan films.
So,
I got American Psycho, he got Lady in the Water.
The book is very bad. Like, I understand the bit that it's doing. It's just exhausting, enduring the bit of American Psycho. It's like, Jesus Christ, we get it.
Yes.
But I remember reading, you know, as a nervous child who wanted to read the synopses of all of the scary movies and the fucked up shit. American Psycho always came up and it always sounded so horrible to me. And it's so funny how divorced from context it sounds so brutal when it's really like, it's such a comforting, funny movie. Like, it's such a joy to watch.
It's a straight up comedy. That's
right. It's not like watching Martyrs or something, but as a child, that is what I thought it was like.
I was just listening to on the best show, Sharpling was talking about how he went to see, and I wish I had known about this, the newly renovated Egyptian theater was showing 4 Paul Thomas Anderson films in one day in 70 millimeter. And he went to see them all. It was Licorice Pizza, Master, Boogie Nights, and maybe Magnolia. But he made a point which I think is interesting. He's like, I love The Master. I love it even more now, having seen it. That movie is a comedy. It is just a, it's a buddy comedy where there's 2 dumb guys, and one's the smart dumb guy and one's the dumb dumb guy. And I think that is so interesting. It's an interesting way of reading that movie. I love The Master, as we've discussed.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
And it's
GTA.
So interesting to me when people misread the genre of a movie. And maybe misread is too judgmental here, but when a movie fundamentally works through one lens, genre lens, as opposed to another, right? So you go and you think, I'm going to go see a comedy, and you see The Master. That's a different film than I'm going to go in to see a serious Paul Thomas Anderson film.
I think I don't care about genre as much. I like a confused genre on a movie.
I do too. And the problem, of course, and this is why I don't like watching trailers quite as much for serious, not serious is the wrong word, but perhaps ambiguous films, is because they set your expectations. They anchor you, to use a pop psych term. They anchor you towards one genre. And it's much more fun, I think, when you go in and you have to figure it out as you go, right? So you just walk in totally blind. It's like, what the fuck am I looking at?
It's also really funny if you lie to somebody about what genre a movie is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Like how I've gotten people to watch Audition with me by saying that it's a romantic comedy, which basically
Oh, yes, that's right. I remember
for
that.
For most of it. Most of it.
Most of it.
Speaking of film and genre, you know, we've discussed on this show that I think Nicholas Winding Refn is a hack and Drive 2011 is very bad and Only God Forgives is worse. But I was hanging out with Jory the other day and we were talking about this interview that Refn and William Friedkin did where Refn off the very much RIP. Refn off the cuff is like saying like, yeah, Only God Forgives is my masterpiece. And immediately William Friedkin like turns to the crew in the room and is like, can we get a medic? Can somebody get a doctor in here? And he just starts roasting Refn for calling it a masterpiece. And I believe, what's the quote? He's like, okay, so if that's a masterpiece, what does that make 2001? And he keeps coming back to it in the interview. So he'll be like, did you hear the ambulance pull up? Good. And then, he's asking Refn, like, how long ago did Only God Forgives come out? And he says 4 years. And then Friedkin is like, 4 years is a zip. It's not even a blip. It's not even a pimple on the asshole of humanity.
And Friedkin has always been a I'll fucking say anything. But old Friedkin is like... I mean, it's not even a time bomb. It's just like, it's like an, he's like an IED. He's just going off all the time. Everyone's catching strays. It's incredible.
That's the dream.
Yeah. Did you hear Marin interviewed him for like 2.5 hours or something?
Oh,
they
shit.
They just went on, and I don't remember anything about this interview, but it's a really long one.
That would get me to listen to it. I for some reason, I found myself listening to, because I'm not like a huge Marin fan. I kind of can't take him, but there's the interview that he did with Gallagher that he got Gallagher to walk off. It's so fucking funny. This is like, wow, this is the first time I've ever liked you, Marc Maron.
Well, yeah, the crazy thing about that interview, which I've heard a couple times at least, probably three, is his questions are not that combative, right?
No, he's they're really not. I think he's being like, perfectly reasonable.
Totally. He's asking a reasonable question to a guy, you know, that is reasonable to ask these questions to. And the moment Gallagher senses any, like, pushback, he's fucking out. And it is so embarrassing. Also, Gallagher, RIP. But the moment he senses that this guy is not on his side, he's like, fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah.
You can watch it turn off. It's incredible.
Marin being like, come on, Gallagher. No.
Yeah.
What's it?
Yes.
I guess I watched.
He's the maddest. Does that reference land?
No.
No. It was the name of one of his specials, The Maddest.
I watched like the full, you know, 45 minutes building up to him walking off, and it was hilarious to me. And then, of course, all of the YouTube comments were like, Marin is a piece of combative shit coming after Gallagher, who's a more successful comedian. It's like, what clip did you just watch?
Yeah. Well, speaking of when you watch things through a lens, right? So that probably,
yeah.
I find this so interesting. I think about this with regard to myself all the time. And I'm sure you have this experience too, because I think it's pretty universal, is friends' opinions prime you to have your own opinions, right? And
right.
If someone's like, this is great, a thing you hadn't considered before, I walk in generally feeling more charitable to it.
Yeah.
And the fact that everybody now, because everyone has their own stupid fucking brand, including myself, you know, everyone spouts some opinion which primes some random other person to have that opinion and then watch something with that lens. And it's always what are you watching and what are you coming to this with?
Yeah, especially if it's like, I think people who like this thing are annoying and I am annoyed by them.
Yes.
Which I've fallen victim to many times. Like,
sure.
That's a very lizard brain thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I would just rather experience the media. I like, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe to my detriment, I like and am interested in seeing what people have to say, even if it pisses me off frequently.
Yes. Same.
And it's like, if you just thought a thing was bad, that's fine. But sometimes people give reasons for thinking a thing is bad that are so beyond what the text is doing, and I guess that's what makes talking about media interesting or whatever, but also people are wrong.
Yes. Well, there's a whole genre of I don't like the person who made it, so therefore the thing is bad, which is omnipresent now.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's just like, what do you think this is trying to do? The something you said before, like liking to see other people's opinions, I was thinking the other day about how almost every time you see TV review now, it is just a recap of the events of the show with very little opinion about what is good and what is bad and why. Like, yeah. even, you know, and a lot of people don't say, you know, the sites won't say they do TV reviews anymore. They'll say they do recaps. And it is such a bummer to see written criticism in major outlets dead like that. I don't care about fucking recap. If I want to read, you know what? Okay, recaps are great. They're valuable.
Am I reading this just because I watched it and I want to be like a dog seeing another dog on TV? Like, right. I also watched that happen.
Although I have to say, the number of times I'm reading a recap and they say a thing that has happened that I have zero recollection of that has completely blown by me is actually pretty high. Where I'm like, what? That? Oh. Okay, I guess I was distracted when that happened or just didn't pick up on it. But yeah, I wish there was better TV review.
Yeah, especially for as big as TV is now.
That's the mystifying thing.
Like an equivalent thing, other than I guess like people being mad on Reddit.
Right. And there are plenty of TV reviews, but I feel like they've kind of gone away from most of the major outlets as journalism rapidly declines as well, right?
Yeah.
So, but
there's a really great, it's like, this is, it feels so bastion of old internet, and I forget the name of the website, but it's a guy who, the entire website is just him reviewing every single episode of The Sopranos, and he goes really deep, and I disagree with a lot of his takes, but it's written so compellingly and clearly, like, it's just so thought out, and, you know, is talking about references to other things, and it's like, oh, this is great. I want this for every show.
Yes. I don't care if I disagree with your take. I want to see what your take is.
Yeah, if you're coming at it in like a reasoned, interesting way and you have like a justification for why you feel this way, like load me up, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Can we get a you saying load me up clean, please?
No, we can't get that, but we can get
we can't get what?
We can get me saying
I legitimately
is,
before
this,
we no, no
this,
before you
this,
before you do what I know you're gonna
is,
do. Before you do what
night,
I know it's not
Brian
yet.
Wecht,
it's not yet.
It's
we're not introducing
late.
The show
it's
yet.
Too
we're not
late.
Introducing the
this
show
podcast
yet.
This podcast is nope, called Late Night with Brian Wecht.
We
I'm
can't cut
Ray.
Out only
the
one
man
audio
rudely
stream.
Speaking
we
over me.
I'm not no, you're the one who interrupted me. You are as always.
Excuse me.
Yeah, thank you. Professor. You're the one who interrupted me.
And welcome to the podcast. We do all sorts of interesting stuff like talking over each other as we're trying to introduce the fucking show that you're listening to.
Is I'm just asking for clarification. I'm just asking for clarification about the thing you were saying. I genuinely was confused. I didn't know what you were saying. I was trying to get you to say it, to explain it, not to say it. And I feel very disrespected and shut down, as always, on this show. And I just wanted you just to explain what you were saying, because I legitimately didn't understand it. I was asking out of a place of honest confusion. So what's the thing you were talking about before? You were going to...
I'm sorry
I mentioned
you feel
the phrase.
That way.
Well,
I don't know
you.
What you're talking about.
Very validating, actually. I'm sorry you feel that way, dummy. That's
yeah. You moron.
If I offended you, I'm sorry.
If you think I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't.
You're wrong. Then you're wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a conversation the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Was this yesterday? It was after we got on a topic that was really good in the mini where we were having a conversation over text about it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Damn it. We're not recording.
Let's look at our texts.
We shall. And this topic was songs that you didn't know are sampling other songs.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
I
That's
thought
right.
that was interesting.
I agree with that. That is always fascinating to hear because you brought up, do you want to say the one you brought up where I was like, what?
This started because we spread misinformation on the mini.
Which I actually know because I corrected it in the mini.
Okay, that's
went out.
Great.
Yes, I added a little correction.
And but this was in the context of we were talking about the Dear Sister Lonely Island SNL sketch, which has the clip of what you say, which is not a Jason Derulo song. It's an Imogen Heap song.
It is an Imogen Heap song. And it's a great song.
Yes, it really is. And the thing that I found when I was finding Western, spaghetti Western scores for Fallout New Vegas reasons, is that there is a song called, just forgive me for this, Nel Cimitero de Tucson, that is white.
Wait, hold on. Am I in Rome right now?
I know, right?
So I heard someone speaking flawless Italian.
Yeah, that's me. That's me, actual Italian lineage.
Layton, please. It's a me. Please. It's a me.
Now you're
actual
speaking
Italian.
My language.
Yeah.
I can smell the salty brine wafting off of the Mediterranean.
It's pronounced Brian, actually.
Anyway, so the song from a Western is what Charles Barkley sampled for Crazy. That
did you say Charles Barkley?
Charles.
Did you say Charles? I think you said Charles.
I did. I straight up said Charles. I was really reeling over bad Italian. So, Gnarls Barkley, excuse me.
Gnarls Barkley, indeed.
And I just never knew that. I had just always assumed
I had
that
no
was...
idea. yeah,
for the song, then please share the good one that you threw back at me.
The one I threw back was a clip from, I always forget what number it is. Is it 34?
34, yeah.
34 from Ghosts 4 by, I thought it was Trent Reznor, but it's listed as Nine Inch Nails, which is immediately, obviously, the basis for Old Town Road by Lil Nas X. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's not like he doesn't admit this. It's a sample. But for some reason, it wasn't until way past the peak of Old Town Road's popularity that I found out this was a fucking Nine Inch Nails sample. And it's great. It's such an odd, it's one of those things. You're like, what is the trajectory here to go from, you know, Nine Inch Nails to some kid who's like, oh, I'm going to make a little song out of this. And then it's the most popular song like ever. Yes. Well, and yeah, the whole Lil Nas X trajectory is fucking amazing. The fact that it, you know, in a large way starts with this Nine Inch Nails sample is nuts.
Yeah, and I had not listened to that album from Nine Inch Nails, but I recognized it because one of the most popular Fallout New Vegas radio mods is a mod for that album, which every time I scrolled past it, I was like, how does Nine Inch Nails fit in here? And so after we had this conversation, I listened to it, immediately downloaded the mod because that album fucking rules.
And it's great.
It's the most 100%, yep, this literally could have been the score for Fallout New Vegas.
It's amazing. I remember getting it, I think it was like just distributed through some, you know, a Nine Inch Nails online on their website or something. I remember buying the, you know, Waves or whatever when it came out. There's a lot going on there. It's not the kind of thing you just sit down and listen to in one stretch. There's a lot, but it is great.
Oh, yeah, and it's so different from track to track and just very interesting. Like, they're real noise-canceling headphones type of album. Yes. I've been enjoying it in the background while I play New Vegas.
Yeah, and Audiophiles Paradise. That's what we should rename our show.
Audiophiles
Paradise.
Yeah, the audio files.
I had a good joke that I'm going to share because I did it on text to one person. Yeah, actually, that's why I remember it. Yeah. Boy, you sound like my daughter.
Yeah.
Dad, it's not. I was thinking about this the other day, too. It is so great to have a kid who's like, you're not funny. And then if I wanted to, I could lead her over to a screen and pull up one of my incredibly popular comedy videos and be like, who's not funny? Huh? To which she would
you,
be like,
still.
You. Yes, you. Just because other people have bad taste doesn't make you funny. right. So the joke was, I had an unusual thing happen. We had some things delivered to our house, and the contents, actually, we had boxes, and the things inside the box were damaged. So actually, it was, we're signing these pictures for NSP, and weirdly, I got a big box of them, and inside it looked like there was clearly water damage to some of the pictures, but the box, the external box, was totally fine. A true mystery.
This alternate ending to 7 sucks.
What's
in the box? Water damage.
Water damage pictures of Danny and Ninja Brian. So I mentioned this. I said, hey, there's some damage to these. Let's get some replacements. And then a UPS investigator showed up at my house out of the blue. This guy, you know, here, knock on the door. And I was expecting someone else at exactly this time. So I went up to the door expecting to see a friend. And I was like, hey, oh shit. You know, that kind of thing where you start one greeting and you're like, whoa, this is not appropriate for this situation. And it's a UPS driver / investigator. And he's like, hey, I got, you know, I was told to come investigate this. No one told me about this. I had no idea this was happening. And I was like, sorry, man. Like, I don't have anything to show you. I broke those boxes up and there was no visible damage anyway. Anyway, we're getting to the joke part, which is why I'm trying to really make this concise. And that the guy who sent the things was like, so I understand the UPS investigator showed up. He's like, I picture this guy like UPS IAB. You know, in a sunglasses and a tie. And the joke I made, which is coming up right now, I said, yeah, FedEx Mulder.
Woof.
Yeah, right? Pretty good shit. FedEx Mulder. He did not respond to that, but I liked it.
Yeah, well, you got two letters that, you know, there's some bridge there comedically. I was hoping we were going
in a
Columbo type direction. Or
I'm always trying to go in a Columbo type direction physiologically.
We've talked about Mikey and Nikki, haven't we?
Remind me.
It's the Elaine May movie with John Cassavetes and Peter Falk.
Oh yes, we have. Although I still haven't seen it.
I made Jory watch it over the weekend, so it's fresh on the brain. That movie's fucking amazing. It's so good.
I want to see it.
It's free on YouTube.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. You are squarely in the Peter Falk is hot camp, right? Is that right?
He's got
we talked about this?
He's got Riz.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely has Riz. Like, it's a weird schlubby Riz, but it's Riz nonetheless, right?
Especially in that movie. But it's, you know, it's good when like 5 minutes from the ending, Jory is like, I still have no idea where this is going.
Oh, that's great. I should write that. Okay. I should write that down. Not that I should.
It's a joy. I think you would love it. I think it's a very interesting, complex, tender film that has one of the most abrupt endings.
Oh, that's
fine. Movie I've seen. Yeah.
I love it when a movie just ends and you're like, what? But then...
Well, it's like, okay, yes, this is the conclusion, of course, but it just happens very quickly. But it's also like so low budget, like terrible ADR. You see the boom mic. There's shots that are just out of focus. And it's one of my favorite movies ever. It's great.
That's great. Does it have? Would you say it has a happy ending? I'm a big fan of happy endings.
I would say that there's no such gleeful terminus to be found.
No. Well, oh well.
Yeah.
But I'm always on the lookout for happy endings. You know, generally, I'm kind of a explorer of experience. I like to kind of transcend the boundaries between pleasure and pain from a trans-dimensional standpoint.
Oh, you know what? This reminds me. Do you want to talk about the emails that we keep getting?
I do, but I'd like to talk more about my sexual predilections first.
They're going to send you that. This is why they're sending the emails.
They might be. I don't know, because I'm, you know, actually, I don't think people know this about me, but I'm into some pretty weird shit. I mean, it's not actually that weird. It's like normal stuff, like merplay, reverse edging, dongle play.
What's reverse edging?
Cuckolding. Old cucking.
I'm dying to know what reverse edging is.
BDILYSM. It's a dominance, like dominant sevenths. erotic ass pixie Haitians. Foot stuff. Inch stuff. Yard stuff. Just kind of in general metric play. I'm pretty into humdingers. Cod swalloping. Gobsmacking. Horn swoggling, absquatulation, admonition, something I like to call appreciative micturation, scanner play, online bill play, manual nostril stimulation, orgasm insurance, pterodactophilia, brontophilia, stegophilia, sensual spelunking, cultural panthropology. comparative cliterature, creative writhing, bondage, tauntaundage, unearthed arcana, spell jamming, free jacking. I love free jacking. Pogging, Morse play, math play, one act play, dough play, yo play, wonka play, play. Consensual bad massage, fly fishing, hedging, dredging, ledging, heath ledging, smellatio, grogging, glee play, Google Play, Apple CarPlay, Crosplay, and that's where you dress up like David Crosby and the other person dresses up like someone else from CSNY. Deezering, high butt pleasure, non-diegetic nipple stimulation, crafting, fast travel, story mode, single player, double player, triple player, multiplayer, knee stuff, and vor. And that's the stuff I'm into, you know, among other things.
That is the best OkCupid profile I've ever heard.
Well, you wouldn't know it because nobody has responded to it. I think it's because I put my height as 5'1.5".
Brian, sometimes you just have to sit back and watch the master at work.
Well, that's actually one of my things as well.
Oh, wow. That honestly, like, I have nothing to say. That was impeccable. That, just totally off the dome?
No, I worked on that for a while. I was in, like, waiting rooms, and I was like, oh, that's fun. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have to put that, you know.
That's so great, because I really thought I was watching, like, the hand of comedy God coming down to touch your brain.
I wish I could do that much, that long. I honestly didn't take that long, but I sure. That's better than I could do just off the dome, for sure.
No, I thought I was witnessing something that would go into a book of world records. Like,
well, let's pretend it did. I did delete a couple because I was like, I can't say that.
Oh, I need to know what didn't make the cut.
You know what? I'll tell you off air.
Oh.
Actually, you know what? I'll text it to you, and you can
tell me if you.
Okay. All right. Text has been sent.
All right. I shall now wait for it. Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
But I'm not going to say it.
No. And people are just going to have to wonder what you're into.
Erotic ass pixie Haitians. I enjoyed that.
There was so much happening so fast. Like, there are a couple of those that really, really got me, and it's just going to have to be on the re-listen that I pick them out.
I was also very happy with BDILYSM. I thought that was pretty cute.
What is...
Explain the joke. Like, ILYSM, I love you so much.
Oh, very good.
In the middle of BDSM. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all good comedy, it requires a lengthy explanation.
What were we talking about before you just
I don't care.
Schooled all of us. Okay, neither do I.
No, you were going to talk about... What was it, actually? I don't remember now.
I have no idea.
Anyway.
My ability to follow the thread of a conversation is about the same lifespan as a fruit fly.
It was... we were talking... You were going to move us into something else, but I can't remember what. It was something about Jory, maybe? It usually is.
Yeah, about his rhetoric. He's increasingly extremist.
Increasingly
rhetoric.
Extremist. I was about to say extremist. Yes. Increasingly extremist rhetoric. He's a really, you know, he's a big RFK guy.
We all have the brain worms in common.
Oh, I love that.
It's nice to see those worms. It's nice to see yourself represented in the media of having brain worms.
Yeah. And also, finally, it's just nice to see, like, some white men in politics. Middle-aged to old.
Like,
yeah,
what if we had, you know, as obsessed as the right is with Hunter Biden? Can you imagine if, like, Hunter Biden wasn't, like, a private citizen and was actually running or involved in any
way? It might happen
way?
Someday.
I'd like, be like, yeah, this dude seems cool as hell.
Yeah. That one way I know that I am aging is now there are major... party nominees who are younger than I am.
Like?
I think Vance is younger than I am. I think Vance is in his early 40s. I could be
wrong.
Yeah,
but you've fucked more couches than that guy.
Well, I don't like to brag, but I don't stop at couches. Let's just say that. I'll do basically anything with cushions.
Oh.
But
Jesus.
You gotta take the plastic off. I'm not going to do the... There was an issue that I had to go to urgent care for because of what they called, and this is a quote, the worst chafing I've ever seen. that came from a plastic covered couch.
And then you said, you haven't even seen my ass yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. You'd think, you know, it, usually when they say J.D. Vance fucked a couch, which way does that go? Like, you know, is
there, you've got options.
Yeah. That's what life is about. Choices. And that's why I'm launching a new segment where we talk to teens. This is our new segment, Choices, featuring me and Layden. That'd be a fun segment,
actually. We're
finally
doing it. We talked about doing that for like our second live show. I made a graphic for it and everything. Yeah, I did like airbrushed cursive choices.
I know,
choices.
I remember. Yeah, it was great.
I would love
we
it if we did it.
We should do that.
Sort of like in Donnie Darko, like the sort of culty tapes that they watch about love and fear. I would just love to like unironically make one of those tapes where we do a freeze frame and, you know.
I think that'd be great. Yeah,
pause the tape now. What should they have done? Maybe that's also on the brain because I rewatched the Terry sketch the other day, like four times in a row.
Well, because you made a reference to it and I posted it in the Discord, and then you have to watch it several times. And
then I have to watch it again.
It's the greatest thing ever. And every time you watch it, some new thing jumps out at you. Actually, so what jumped out at me this time.
Perfectly league well.
League well. Perfectly league well. I think about that a lot. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the combat seat.
the thing that
Livingston Seagull. Yes, indeed. The thing that I didn't realize is, so at the very end when Malcolm Barrett stands up and he's like, they've got a gun. And then
he's the ringleader.
I didn't realize he was saying
he's the ringleader.
I had never
heard it before either until this time.
100% is exactly what I was about to say. I turned on the captions because I was like, what is he saying there? He's the ringleader. I never knew that.
And then also at the very beginning, there's like a contraction created with if 9/11th were to happen.
If 9/11th were to happen.
Yeah.
11th tour. Yes, indeed.
But it's like the ST after 11th into the tour.
It's everything about it is just fucking weird. It's so great.
Feel free to say no. I will not accept for an answer.
Yes. The way he goes right into it, it's so perfect.
It's incredible.
Like watching that. That's one of those sketches that you watch and like somebody gets me because it's so weird and funny. And that's definitely one that as time goes on, more and more people talk about. Like, I think
it's becoming
one of the most famous sketches from the show because people love it so much. Yeah. God, those guys are the best.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And then once you watch one Key and Peele thing, you have to watch like 40 of them.
Yes, indeed.
Because they're all great.
Very similar with when I'll fall into a Whitest Kids You Know hole, just because I need to see everything Trevor has ever done. Occupies a lot of brain space for me.
I watch the Key and Peele one, which we've probably talked about, where they're texting and Key is getting agitated because he thinks Peele is being like aggressive, but instead Peele's just like sitting on the couch playing video games, smoking a bong, you know. It's on. And it starts out with Jordan Peele on the couch playing a video game. And I think about this every time I play any kind of video game where he goes, boom, boom, touchdown, bitch. What? I love it so much. Yeah.
I just love the way that those things work themselves into your brain. It makes me feel very, what's the word that I'm looking for? It makes me feel dumber that my reaction to anything that happens in real life is usually a collection of clips from various comedy things and The Simpsons, but it amuses me. Got a little perpetual meme machine in my brain.
That's what everyone does. And sketch comedy is perfect for this too, right? Yeah. The crazy part about sketch comedy is you get these things that are like generationally popular. And yet, it's hard to do, but also it's hard to like sell these shows apparently. Like sketch shows are not popular to produce, even though everyone fucking loves the best ones.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, they're endless, whatever, Chappelle Show, Monty Python, Kids in the Hall, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and now with like platforms where the entire thing is just a vehicle for a bunch of granular things, many of which are too painful to witness.
Well,
I was watching...
I guess that's true. Everyone has their own sketch show now, which is terrible.
Yes. Yeah. Vine, we've spoken about this before. 7 seconds, you use those 7 seconds. You see TikToks where it's like, oh, there was a germ of a joke in here, but 2 minutes is fucking insane for you to be dragging this out. I also fell down watching like people TikTok battling, which just seems like the
most...
What is
that? Explain that to me.
I'm not even sure I can explain that to you. The TikTok frightens me, but it's like two or four people on, and then I think by like donating money you can win. The whole thing is like people send like pay real money for emojis or whatever, and they beat another person. It just seems like the most the celery of content. You are burning more, and also I think this is not even true, but you're burning more this is the apocryphal celery of content. You're burning more brain cells watching it than you are I've lost the train.
My dog
is like halfway off of my lap right now. Like her legs are literally dangling, like I think she's asleep, and she's just barely like gripped on to my thigh right now. Hey buddy.
Every once in a while, I see an article which is like, what do your kids mean when they say blopped you? And I love it when I've never even heard the phrase that the article is about. Like, it has reached a level of presence in the culture that someone's writing an article about it, and yet I've never heard anyone say it. Now, maybe that's because I don't have a... It's probably like teenagers and that era, you know, age person are saying this stuff. But yeah, I there was one the other day. It was something from TikTok. It's about being mindful or something, and I'd never heard anyone say. I can't even remember what it is now. Maybe someone listening does.
Well, but, I guess the amount of time between I've never heard anybody say this before to I never want to hear anybody say this again happens astoundingly quick.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, I feel like that was the case for me with Riz. Like Riz went from, oh, I don't really hear anyone saying this to everybody says it all the time now.
Yes.
That's a recent example.
But. Yeah. You know, this is me totally changing the subject. I was, as I have mentioned too many times already, that I'm working on a David Lynch radio for Fallout New Vegas. This led to me getting to listen to a ton of Angelo and just at every music thing associated with all David Lynch, which is a treat, let me tell you.
No, he is great music.
But there was like a whole archive that apparently was released on his website that somebody very kindly put on YouTube, and she's trying to get back on my lap and her tongue is out. Hey, buddy. But it was just like an archive of unreleased or questionably used like tracks for Twin Peaks, where it's just like, here's 10 different versions of this theme. One's a saxophone, one's just vibraphone, one's piano and Rhodes. It's great. And also like extended versions.
Like pulled from the show or?
I think straight from Angelo and Lynch.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
The Pink Room, which is a fantastic track in Fire Walk With Me. It's in when they're in the bar and you can't. Yeah, pull it up right now. This is like one of my favorite pieces of music.
Hold on. Pink Room. Is it from the Fire Walk With Me soundtrack? There it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's from the scene where they're in the bar and they have to use subtitles because the music is so loud. Like,
yes. This is a great song. Yes.
And that was kind of the genesis of me. Like, that is the track that set the tone for all of the things that I pulled for the radio, because they're all kind of in that very sleazy sort of vein. But there's an extended version
really
of that
one.
That's like 6 minutes that's on YouTube from that archive that's just fantastic.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, yeah, I like that a lot. Man, what a great sonic profile for that stuff.
It's amazing. And like, there's so many of those, like from the Lost Highway soundtrack, Dub Driving is very similar. Then you've got Blue Frank, which is another track from season 2 of Twin Peaks, and I think they just kind of iterated on it. It's the same like cello-y, cello heavy shit.
I'm listening right now, hold on.
And then similarly, there's a Henry Mancini track, Experiment in Terror, that feels like the total blueprint.
I don't think
it.
That's a cello. I think that's a bass, an upright bass, but I could be wrong.
You're honestly, you're right. You're probably right.
There's a Mancini thing, did you say?
Yeah, Experiment in Terror. Look up that track and listen to it, because it's like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Like Monkey Shines, an experiment in fear. Okay, listening. Is this flute thing?
This flute thing? No.
What am I listening? I'm
very curious what you're listening to.
No, there's an... That was very confusing. There's an album called Experiment in Terror, which is Mancini, which is, I guess, the soundtrack. And the first track is called Fluter's Ball. So I started playing the album by accident, and it was the first track, which is like a very 60s, like, flutey, flutey, flute, flutey, flute, flutey, flutey. All right, here we go. Experiment in Terror has almost 3 million listens. Oh, yeah, it's exactly this. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so naturally,
with the harpsichord, love it.
I have been jamming on this playlist so hard, and naturally I have Roy Orbison in Dreams, and Linda Scott, I've Told Every Little Star, and In Heaven Everything Is Fine. It's
have
pretty killer.
We discussed much Jimmy Scott on the show.
Jimmy Scott,
he's the guy who sings Sycamore Trees in Twin Peaks. He is a tiny guy with a high voice, and he is one of the greatest singers in the world.
Oh, Sycamore Tree. I see. Okay. We have not spoken about him before.
Jimmy, he's an amazing singer. So he had some kind of syndrome or thing where his voice basically never dropped. And so he has this very high voice with like a crazy vibrato. And he's, legitimately, I think one of the all-time greatest jazz singers ever. There was something where, like, a label completely fucked him. And he was, you know, very down and out. Like, he was a promising singer and then got completely hosed by the music industry. And then starting around Twin Peaks in the early 90s, started to have this big career resurgence. And he has an amazing album called All the Way, where he's doing jazz standards. But for a while, he went by Little Jimmy Scott, and then he, you know, just went by Jimmy Scott. And his voice is incredible. He's great on Sycamore Trees, but he's great on basically everything. All the Way, I just love it. I love his voice. I saw him live when he was very, very old, like shortly before he died. And he's just one of my all-time favorite singers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that thing about jazz standards where it's just like, hey, do you like this song? Do you want to hear 50 people who all have very different, interesting voices sing it? Love it.
Yes. Yeah, totally. I guess this album doesn't have enough listens. This should have way more. All the Way by Jimmy Scott. Everybody, here, I'm going to send you a track. Everybody should go listen to it right now. Here, listen to is that last text I sent you, which now I can't unsee. Listen to this.
Great. There I'm waiting go. For it. Oh, wow, that came so quickly.
Well, that's because it's for me.
Thank you. I was waiting for it.
Yep. Don't ask my wife about it. That's my... Ooh. Oh, that's a good catchphrase. That's a good, like, 80s or British 70s catchphrase.
Don't ask my wife.
Don't ask my wife about it. Woo!
All right, I'm listening to this. Oh, this is so good.
This whole album is fantastic.
Yep, that's getting a save.
Yeah, also My Foolish Heart, which is a song I love, is really, really good. Everything on this album is fantastic. He has a really good At Last, too. He had a couple follow-up albums. They're not as good as this one. This one is like the best.
Oh, these are all getting saved. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of Eartha Kitt also.
Oh, she's great. Yes.
She is the best. Like there are so many great entries in that era, but when it comes to sheer fucking personality of being like funny and sexy and just crushing it.
Yeah,
she's
amazing.
The greatest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 60s, right? Or her heyday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Whatever Lola Wants is a great song, her cover of it.
From Damn Yankees, yes.
Yeah. hold on, I want to send you a song from this lady who has the coolest fucking voice. Winona Carr. I'm gonna send it in
it
these.
Called?
I'm sending it to you. But it's from her album Jump Jack Jump, and the whole album is
I'm
great.
Looking at she the album has, right now. What's it called?
Jump Jack Jump.
That's the name of the track?
Oh no, the name of the track is Please Mr. Jailer.
There it is. Okay. Playing right. Oh, very popular. Look at this. Playing right now. Oh yeah. Very Nina Simone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, right.
Feel like this feels like a Tarantino special. Yeah, this is like a music supervisor's paradise, this kind of shit.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that song would be playing at the end of an episode of Fargo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the kind of shit they really go in for. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, highly recommend the whole album. It's fucking awesome. They took a bunch of the, and I'll tell you my logic jumps here, from this to Cab Calloway songs to the clips of the Forbidden Zone that used to be on YouTube mm-hmm. are no longer there.
Really?
Yeah, like the whole
oh,
devil, you know, Minnie the Moocher scene.
That's
so
right.
great, but it's not there anymore, to my knowledge.
That's a pretty insane Elfman soundtrack, too.
It's
score.
Great.
Yeah, score. It's great. I've first heard that on a compilation album, the Music for a Darkened Theater compilation, which he had on that.
At least the his cover of St. James Infirmary Blues is still up, which is mm-hmm. just the great. At, going back to the single digit episodes of this show, perhaps the hottest a man has ever been.
I have to remember what he looks like.
He's dressed as a devil and he's doing the trombone, and then he's got his tits out. He's got suspenders on.
Yeah, because why not?
Yeah, and he's just crushing that song. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, it's a thing I really love about Cab Calloway is like how hard you hear him smile delivering so many of the lines. Like,
have we talked great. About Everybody Eats When They Come to My House?
No.
Here, go to Cab Calloway. Everybody Eats When They Come to My House. It's an incredible song.
Oh, also after we talked about it the other day, I listened to Banana Split for My Baby. Fucking great.
Pretty great.
All right.
This one is actually very similar in vibe to that.
Oh my god.
Isn't that cute?
What would you call the genre of song where it's names? This is a name song?
I mean, it's a novelty song, right? So
yeah.
It's interesting. Last week on Bullseye, Jesse Thorne was talking to Dan Aykroyd, and they were talking about exactly this genre of music, which is kind of a charismatic clown backed by like a shreddingly great band, right?
Yeah.
Cab Calloway, K Kaiser, to some extent, Spike Jones, which is what Aykroyd said they were paying homage to. I never know if I'm pronouncing that word correctly. Paying homage to with the Blues Brothers. He was talking about the Blues Brothers. And he said it was a, you know, kind of a love letter to these old type singers, which is why Cab Calloway is in the movie, because they loved these guys who were like kind of buffoons, but had these incredible musicians behind
them. They're just silly little guys.
Yes, they're silly little guys. And speaking, obviously, because of my own band, I'm a huge fan of bands that have some giant doofus in the front backed by a total shredder.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of a kinship.
Yeah.
With these folks. It's a good interview with Dan Aykroyd. Because
does he talk
also,
about aliens and or vodka?
He talks about both, and he talks about the supernatural, and he talks about who he's going to haunt, and he talks about, he actually apparently brought some of his vodka.
Oh, he does it every time, every single time.
Yeah. It's what I guess I have not heard many interviews with him, because there I had a realization listening to it. I was like, wait, he believes this stuff? Oh, no.
Oh, Brian.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But I will say, you know what? I watched the newest Ghostbusters movie, Frozen Empire, which got pretty savaged in the reviews, and I thought it was pretty good. I really didn't like Afterlife.
Afterlife?
I thought I hated Afterlife, actually. I thought it was really calculated and awful. But I enjoyed Frozen Empire. I thought Frozen Empire was way better than the other one.
We've looped back around to a thing that I was going to ask you. You know the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
Unfortunately.
I was... Do you want to do an episode about that or something? Because I've never seen it. I just know that it was floating around for a long time. And it's the exact sort of thing that would piss you off. So
it does. Well, so do you want to say what it is for people who may not know?
You're the one who's seen it.
I have not seen the whole thing because I had to give up. It is basically people who don't know what they're talking about quantum physics.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, it's the dumbest genre of things about quantum physics, which I feel like peaked in the 70s and 80s, which is people who are like, oh my God, it can be a particle and a wave. What? Also ESP, huh? Like, you think about that? Like, what if, because we don't understand this one thing, that therefore, you know, we can read minds and ghosts are real, you know, and also aliens. It's like, no, okay, first of all, it's such a silly cliche. It is very correct in a sense to
speaking
say we
aliens.
Don't understand. Yeah, there we go. to say, and speaking of not understanding things, look at that idiot. What a stupid mug. It's very correct in some sense to say there are big things we don't understand about quantum physics, right? That is true. But also, people who are like, a particle and a wave? Huh? It's... You're just repeating something you heard.
Yeah.
It's not weird. It's just the right way to think about things at that scale. At tiny distance scales, quantum mechanics takes over. That's how it works. And I feel like people are now conditioned to say, oh, quantum mechanics is so weird. I don't know. It's just fucking right. Like, just that's the way to think about things. Like, it's only weird if you're approaching it. It's kind of what we were talking about at the beginning. If you approach it in a certain genre, which is the lens of classical mechanics or classical physics, yeah, okay, sure, it's weird. But the whole point is, don't think about it that way. It's not that weird. It's just, it's the right description. You're thinking about it wrong. And the way you should think about it is you start with that, and then you get macroscopic physics out of it. So there are things we don't understand, but it drives me insane. And people will say this to me, like, on a regular basis. I was just at an event where someone tried to get into this with me, and I hope nicely kind of shut them down, because, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, I'm a particle physicist, and they're like, oh man, quantum mechanics, right? So weird. And I'm fucking tired of it, because it just means, just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's weird, right? Like,
yeah,
but usually brutal. what I will say when someone tries to get into like philosophy stuff with that, like, is I say, I don't know, man, like, that's above my pay grade. I really don't understand enough to talk about that stuff.
Oh, that's so Brian Wecht TM.
Yeah.
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, because it is the kind of thing, there's like philosophers of physics. Great.
It's that true. But what you're really saying is that's a dumb fucking question.
Actually, what I'm saying is not it's a dumb question. What I'm saying is it's an imprecise question that I am not equipped to answer it. And it's the imprecision that's really the problem there.
Right.
Right. Because often it's just some vague thing they're parroting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you way back when I was living in New York? So this would have been 2010-ish. Maybe a little before that, but I got an offer from a friend to tutor an older gentleman who was interested in learning general relativity. And this guy lived in a fancy apartment and was looking to learn general relativity. And for those of you who don't know, general relativity is basically the theory of gravity, Einstein's theory of gravity. How do mass and energy warp space-time? It involves quite a lot of mathematical, like, underpinnings. So you have to know something called differential geometry, which is basically, it's nothing too crazy. It's just like, how do you do calculus on curved spaces? How do you take a derivative on a manifold that's wiggly? And I think I met with this guy 3, maybe 4 times. He had earned money from gems or something like that, gold. I don't really remember. Had a bunch of money, and I was like, look, dude, if I meet with you, let's call him Frank. I was like, Frank, if I meet with you, I'm very happy to talk about this stuff, but you got to do your homework, right? I'm not going to be a part of this if you aren't going to actually do it, because there's no way you're going to understand this without like doing homework, solving math problems, getting used to the description of this thing. And he's like, cool. At the end of the second time we meet, he goes, okay. So I have a theory. And I was like, oh no. So it turns out the whole reason he wanted me there was so that I could make mathematically precise his theory, which I don't even remember what it was, but it was some like crazy idea. And this is a classic crank thing.
Yeah.
They're like, I know how it works. And then they explain it in words. And they're like, now someone just needs to translate it into math. And you're like, no, no, no. That's the whole problem. Like, you don't understand it because it only works in math. Like, that's the only way to explain it. Just to be like,
yeah,
you know, what if gravity was wet, man? Like, okay. what does that mean?
Actually, you know, that's a really good question.
Yes.
What if gravity was wet?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You just have to give it enough foreplay.
I was this guy, and I was like, I met with him once, maybe
Thank
twice
you for not
more.
Reacting
but,
to that.
To what? To what? Say it again. Clean.
Oh, that I was. Maybe it needs more foreplay.
Can you clear your throat and then say it again?
No, that was a tactical move.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get nothing clean from me.
Tactile move. Yeah. So I stopped. It was a nice enough guy, but I was like, I was a postdoc. I have my own fucking research to worry about. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not translating your, imprecise theory into math because there's no way to do that anyway.
Yeah, but also, Brian, free money. You could have kept that going. You really could have just...
I could have.
Stretched it. That's a great idea. Please tell me more about it. I'm going to need to think on this one for next time.
I guess
we're getting into some
really...
big stuff here, so you know the money is going to go up, but it's only because the computations I'm doing are so
advanced. Yeah. I could just feed the guy garbage.
That's an honest living, man.
I am fascinated by these kind of physics cranks. And when you're a theoretical physicist, you get a lot of people contacting you because your email address is public. So once you're like a postdoc and up, especially if you're a faculty member, and especially if you're like a fancy famous faculty member, which I definitely was not, you get on mailing lists of people who copied the email addresses of every theoretical physicist they could find and are just going to start sending you emails all the time about how Einstein was wrong and only they're right. I still get emails from one guy in particular.
And this is pure, we may never have this knowledge again. What does it say on your Jurassic Technology
shirt?
Yeah,
that's right. That's exactly what it says. Yes, that's right. It's, you know, it's just like, here's, you know, paper after paper after paper. Actually, there is a website you can go to, which has a bunch of, so this is an interesting story. Okay. The place you go for, actually, I haven't been on this in ages to see if the mirror version is active, but the archive arxiv.org www put in there. This is where you upload your preprints for physics and other disciplines. So if you want to see physics papers, you go to arxiv.org. It's a nonprofit. It's great.
Cool.
This has, so there essentially there are very low barriers to entry to this site. It's not quite anybody can post, but it's almost anybody can post. For a long time, it was anybody can post here. Now you have to like be recommended by someone, but posting on here, there's no peer review. So anyone can put up a paper. It doesn't mean it's been checked by other people as being correct. It's not a journal. But at the same time, like my main category was high energy physics theory, also phenomenology. And maybe I have one in another one at one point. But they're preprints. So you want to be careful because if you upload a bad paper to this, people will fucking see it. So people generally don't. But
will you define preprints?
Preprint like has not been approved by a journal. So in the old days, a preprint was like, I typed up my paper and I'm passing it around to people.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to get it. Comments. It's a paper once it has appeared in a journal. Now the way... at least theoretical physics and other disciplines work, is it's pretty much the preprints that everybody reads and cares about. So you're much more, you're very careful with your preprint. Your preprint is your whole thing.
Okay.
Sometimes people get banned from the archive because they post crazy shit, or they have swears in their paper, or whatever. And then you can go to archive backwards, which is Vixra, Vixra.org, which is where the people who basically can't post on the archive post their papers. So I am not willing to say yes.
The italics in the, yes. The description, serving the whole scientific community.
That's right. So it is a little bit glib to say everything on here is bullshit. However, if you haven't passed the audition to be on the archive and you can only post in the Vixra, something has gone wrong, generally speaking. So if you want to see a bunch of crank physics papers, this is the place to look. What's it, Scientific God Incorporated? Do you see this link at the top? What? I'm very reluctant to click on this.
I've clicked it.
What is that? A New York non-SGI is a New York non-for-profit
corporation. You know, we have a dream.
It's not as interesting as I had hoped. Anyway,
no, it seemed like it was going to be interesting, but...
You can click on the... Yeah, please.
Actually, what I was going to say was going to move on from this topic. So.
Okay, move on from this topic.
We've come around full circle to a thing that we briefly alluded to about certain emails that we receive. And I think what we've been talking about is relevant to this story because of the other types of emails we receive.
Yes, please.
Will you tell the listeners about the emails that we receive?
Yes.
They're more relevant to you than they are to me.
Relevant? I wouldn't say they're relevant.
I've got a lot of you saying the opposite of that.
They are targeted at me, I would say, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So very occasionally, we get PR firms that pitch us guests. Never once have we said yes to this. Never once.
You have also asked to be removed from these.
Yeah, because for a while they were like quantum healing shit. Nope, not happening. I'm not having anyone even vaguely like this on this show because that stuff is bullshit.
Also, all of the emails are basically the same.
They are, but they're formatted exactly the same. As far as I can tell, they're not all from the same PR company, but they sure look like they are. And the past three guests that have been pitched to us are all people who specialize in dick problems. Yes, and I'm not going to drop any names because I don't want to call anyone out, but we now exclusively get guests pitched to us who are, hey, let me help solve your dick problems. And we have, so on our TikTok, most of the videos that are recommended to us are, how do you deal with raging narcissists? And on email, the only guests that are pitched to us are guests who are like, how do you solve your erectile dysfunction problems? And it makes me wonder, how do I come across to other people in the world? Am I a limp dick narcissist? I mean, not to brag, but yes, of course I am. So this is, it makes me really, it's one of those things, you know, you can never quite see yourself through someone else's eyes, but this is pretty much a glimpse into the eyes of how someone out there has, you know, Googled this show, or the algorithm, you know, on TikTok learns about this show and they're like, what do these people need help with?
Look at this poor young woman getting gaslit by a narcissist
with erectile dysfunction. I just want to beg listeners, please don't talk to Rachel about this. Don't ask her for clarification. She doesn't have any information that you think she might have. Like, just leave her out of this. She's not going to confirm or deny anything that you might throw at her. So, like, don't DM her about this.
I like that the content on TikTok supposes that I'm the type who does pop sci TikTok content without a degree in fucking anything. I dropped out of art school, so I'm about as qualified as the rest of them. Mm-hmm. That's just like, everything that you don't like is gaslighting, bestie.
Yes. Also, on Facebook, the videos that get recommended to me on Facebook are also how to deal with a narcissist, how to know you have a narcissist in your life, things that narcissistic boyfriends say. And I was like, what is it? I don't use Facebook that much. And when I do, I'm literally mm-hmm. just like scrolling through to see if there's updates from friends I haven't spoken to in a while. What is it about my behavior on Facebook that is, and those are different platforms. Facebook and TikTok are not talking to each other. So something on these algorithms is looking at me and screaming narcissist.
My
it's like I'm the center of the fucking universe or something. It's like it's all just about
me.
Why are they so obsessed with me all the time?
And your dick. And your limp, small dick.
Well, at least one of those. Yeah, my flaccid micro penis.
It's like dick pills is part of it. I seem to recall that there are other methods of getting your
non-surgical methods and injectables.
Injectables.
That's a word that was used in one of these emails. Injectables.
That's
yes.
what I was thinking of.
One guy.
Hey, are you having problems with your dick? You know what's going to fix it?
Shove this syringe into it.
That I sent you for like $80, just this syringe. God. That you've gotten in the mail, just shove it right up the urethra.
There was a really good, can I log into this right now? I really want to read, I feel like I read one of these on the show before, but there's it's been years, of me dealing with my penile problems.
Because for me, like the overall ads and content that comes to me is just so insultingly like, hi, bestie. Do you want to do legal ketamine for your depression?
Can you guess?
The problem is that the answer is yes, fucking of course, but don't have my number that way.
Can you guess? So I was looking for these emails in our inbox. What word mm-hmm. did I have to search, put in the search bar to find, like successfully find these?
Erectile?
That actually didn't seem to work the first time. Erect. Let me try it now. Nope, that's not how you spell it. Erectile.
Energy. Masculine.
Oh, look at that. No, okay. Yeah, one of these didn't come up for erectile.
Interesting.
Wait, is there another one?
Oh, is there a new one?
I think there's one I missed before. Wait a minute.
Here.
Hold on. Yes, there's a fourth of these that I missed before. That erectile turns up. Intimacy Wearables, a company dedicated to improving men's erectile fitness. Erectile.
Erectile fitness stick in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Okay, so I did see this one. It didn't come up before, but yes, I do remember this. But the one I was really looking, male is the word I had to search for.
Okay.
I want to find, there was a particularly great description of, who was it? I think it might have been, this is going to take a minute. We might have to cut this out because I'm just going to.
The email is from Dr. Dick Bigley. Not a medical doctor.
Okay, hold on. One of these guys, I feel like these have to be a bit. One guy just developed something he calls the P-Long Protocol.
Is that an acronym?
No, it's P-Long.
Oh, no.
It is, the P-Long Protocol, a revolutionary approach that delivers lasting results through a combination of PRP injections, nitric oxide booster supplements, and the use of penile traction and suction medical devices. I'm actually going to order one of those suction medical
penile
devices.
Penile traction.
Penile traction.
There's a website.
I am looking. What is the. God, what it was. There's one. Okay, the one I was looking for was, it makes some reference to the guy, like, traveling through Eastern Europe and developing a proprietary powder that he then used. Yeah.
I went to the website for the P-Long treatment and I'll let it speak
for itself. This is it. I found it. This realization. Okay, hold on. I'm going to just read this. By the way, I don't know anything about these people.
Nor I. Anyway. All I know is that I wish they would stop sending us emails. Or do, because it's funny.
Here's a paragraph from this email. Person never had any reason to question his sexual performance until his late 40s, when he began to notice that live sexual partners... Live is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't enough to arouse him anymore, and that watching pornography was the only way he could consistently achieve an erection. This realization began a dark period of experimentation with every known ED drug he could find, even going so far as to develop his own blend based on a popular but questionable European drug. But all of them came with debilitating side effects. Faced with the prospect of being unable to have fulfilling sexual encounters ever again, Person fell into a deep depression, which only broke when he finally discovered a holistic approach to resolving his issues.
Holistic?
A popular but questionable European drug. What? What are we talking about?
The great news is that I've Google image searched penile traction.
Okay, tell me everything. Should I do it?
Yeah, you should.
All right, I'm doing it from our account. Penile traction. No, not attraction. Oh my God. This is upsetting to say the least.
I think saying medieval torture device is a little too pat of a thing to say about this. It's more like, it's sort of like the bit that you would put on a horse.
Luckily, there are no dicks involved. It's all like fake dicks.
No, did you get the image that I just texted you?
Hold on.
This is like an album cover. Yeah. The image that I sent to Brian is like outlines of a body with a dick, the dick and the traction device. One is standing, the other is walking. And in the lower right, it just says, you can use it in your regular activities at any time.
Can you, here's an image
you're telling
text.
Me I could be talking to a man on the street and he's got this traction abomination on his dick?
Anybody could. I like images like this that I'm sending you right now. Here, look at this. Tell me when this comes through.
Okay.
Do you want to describe what this is?
What's the deal with penile traction?
Describe this image, please, Layden.
This image looks like Anna Kendrick and Jake Gyllenhaal lying in a bed.
Indeed it does. Yep. Or Brett Goldstein, kind of, also.
A little bit, yeah. Pre or post-coitus, based on the context, I think we have a place for that.
I would say
leaning.
Coitus maybe didn't quite happen.
Coitus interruptus, indeed.
Coitus not going to happen us.
Clearly the Jake Gyllenhaal is displaying a level of dick shame, and the Anna Kendrick character is doing a gesture I can only describe as what is the deal with your small dick.
Yes,
that's a great image.
Here's another really good one.
Okay, excellent.
Do you see this one that says small, large, extra large, XXL, but doesn't have a medium?
No.
There's a penis extender available on eBay.
Used?
Buy now.
Okay, you know what? The image that I'm just kind of in love with, it's the first one that I sent of the you can use it in your regular activities at any time. It just has big Radiohead in Benz energy.
Uh-huh.
The Benz, in Benz. What the fuck is wrong with me? Too distracted by the penile traction.
When I go to the... what is it? The penis extender stretcher max. This is an
How
eBay.
How did we get here?
Because of my dick problems. Right. When I go to the male penis extender, stretcher, max vacuum enhancer, and larger silicone sleeve, small to XXL, first of all, there's no medium. It goes from small to large. I saw, yes, this is a very upsetting image, indeed, the one you're sending me, of these very curved penises. What I like about the image I'm about to send you, first of all, 33 people have this in their cart in eBay.
Sure,
also,
they do.
Also, I want you to describe the, especially the top of this packaging.
I just can't get over the phrase cavernous body of the penis.
Cavernous?
Yeah, that's what it says in that Mayo Clinic image I just sent. With the fibrous plaque.
Oh, I couldn't even, yeah, I didn't even, there it is. Yeah, look at that. Wow.
Okay, right, so you've sent me an image.
That is the penis extender stretcher, max vacuum enhancer, and larger silicone sleeve.
Size large, small, large, extra large, extra large. What am I?
Look at the top of this package. That's what I'm interested in right now.
The top of the package? What do you mean?
The branding here. There's an American flag. And something
fast
that says U.S.
shipping.
Stock. Yes. So the American flag, U.S. stock, there's very patriotic imagery on this. Penis extender, stretcher, max vacuum enhancer, and larger silicone sleeve.
How is this supposed... So, this just... Is this just...
It's going to MAGA your penis bigger.
I don't see how that's going to... You know what? If we hadn't given them reason to send us these emails before, we sure did just now.
That's right.
I think there are a lot of things that they might want to clear up about penile traction.
Well, that's what they're offering. These people that they're pitching to us can tell us a lot about male enhancement. But speaking of male enhancement, I think it's time for segments.
Yeah, and maybe this will lead to some enhancement of our male, i.e. not getting more of those.
I actually want more of them because we don't have to respond. I do like the follow-ups, though.
They
send exactly one follow-up. Just following up to see if Dr. Biggin Dickin is, you know, you have any interest in having him on your show. Our first segment on the show is our pop culture recommendation segment. It's where you get to talk about something you've been enjoying recently, be it a book, a movie, a video game, or what have you. The name of the segment is What's Poppin', and the theme song goes here.
What's Poppin'?
What's Poppin'? Stellar. Layden, what's poppin'?
What's popping for me is the book Rikers, An Oral History by Graham Raymond and Reuven Blau.
Like the prison?
Yes, like the prison. Mm-hmm. It is exactly what it sounds like. It's an oral history of Rikers from people who worked there and people who were detained there. And it's very...
Wow, crazy.
Horrifying and interesting. Because I fell down a subreddit rabbit hole the other day of r/prison. Which was fascinating because it's just, you know, correctional officers and also people who have been in prison talking about prison shit. But Rikers, a nightmare. Very compelling hearing from, you know, a bunch of different people. It's a whole other world. So
yeah,
that
indeed
is what's popping for me.
Great.
What about you, Brian? What's popping for you?
What's popping for me is I forget how.
Other than your dick once it's in the traction machine.
Honestly, my recommendation is not too off topic for dick issues. So it is, I haven't heard this album in forever, and I was listening to it actually today while I was driving. It is the 1997 Cool Keith album Sex Style, which he describes the genre of which as being pornocore. And this album, it is maybe the most disgusting, like gross, filthy album I have ever heard. Like, putting Rudy Ray Moore to shame style, disgusting. But
this
it's
is a pretty
also
incredible album cover too.
The album cover is legitimately incredible. Yes, it's the cereal that really gets me. The box of cereal on the cover, which I really like. Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm not even looking at an image. I just know that box of cereal.
just because there's like the composition is. Baffling and frightening to me.
Everything about it. I highly recommend this album. I actually legitimately love the production. It's Cutmaster Kurt and another guy who I think was he an Ultra Magnetic with Cool Keith? I forget. I could look it up, but I'm not going to. The production is pretty great. It gets better every time you listen to it, and it is nasty. It is truly an album made by someone who does not give a single fuck about anything.
Side two, Stuck on Pussy Drive.
Oh, Stuck on Pussy Drive. There's all the titles are pretty great. The one I probably, there are a lot of standout tracks on this album. I really like Make Up Your Mind, to which the chorus goes, make up your mind who you want to pump the butt. Make up your mind who you want to pump the butt. It's don't listen to this with any other human being around you. You have to be alone to listen to this album. It's too gross. Like, if you listen to it, it's probably illegal to listen to it with children in the same city. Like, it's right. Nasty. I love it so much.
The progression from side four, track one, Lick My Ass, track mm-hmm. two, Keep It Real, ... represent 96.
Yes, right. Yep.
The back cover, I texted the image to you because I know you've seen it, but...
Yep. I have a special edition of this. I got some like special edition
really?
Stuff. This is a very influential album for me. Like, and
of
yeah,
course it is.
Who's
yeah.
in a fucking sex band? Like, it's not. And the thing, what I love, Cool Keith is great. He's a maniac in many ways, but he has some really great albums. The usually the one people say is the best is Dr. Octagon, the Dr. Octagon album. Dr. Octagonologist, I think, is what it's called.
Yes, as you've mentioned on this show.
Great album. That's the one that everybody loves. Had a bunch like crossover success. Sex Style did not have crossover success, but it
shocking.
Is. And also released under Cool Keith's own name, not Dr. Octagon. Love it. Highly recommend it. Listen to it. I apologize for everything you're about to hear, but it is pretty great.
Wow.
There's just something so freeing about listening to someone who's like, I'm saying everything right now. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I'm just doing this thing. And that's Cool Keith.
It's a way to live.
He's also a great rapper, like a legitimately great rapper. And his lyrics are, he's one of those rappers where sometimes he just doesn't care about rhyming. He's just going to say a bunch of shit. And it's awesome.
I respect that.
Yeah, so do I. All right.
Excellent. That's what's popping. Let's move on to our final segment, which is... You know, I've been doing pretty well lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's three parts gratitude exercise and one part petty grousing. The name of the segment is Peaches and Lemons, and the theme song for that segment goes right here.
Peaches and Lemons. Peaches and Lemons.
Oh, great. We'll start yep. with lemons.
Limones.
My lemon is, I was doing laundry yesterday, which mm-hmm. doing laundry since I've gotten injured has been a very difficult thing because I am here. My laundry, which is two machines, is up many, many flights of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was washing my sheets and clothes. And after the first load,
No, I legitimately couldn't understand what you were saying. Like, the audio cut out for a second. Can you just
say
that
again?
After
the first round of washing my clothes inside of the washer...
Okay. That's longer than what you said before.
No, I think you just misheard.
That's not really possible.
The machines no longer accept coins, so you have to use an app. When my father was here and he tried to install the app, some malware was scanned that took his credit card information.
Oh, no. And you can't start with the app. You have to start with coins and then extend with the app.
No. You have to use the app.
Oh, no matter what. Okay.
And I guess he downloaded the wrong thing or something. But I've been using the app. And the great thing about the app is it's clearly not just to pay for machines because it always wants to get you to like buy lottery tickets. You open it up to like washer
one.
Talk about
laundering money.
And the whole vibe, very nice. The whole vibe is just like, hey, big spender, you want to win big?
Yeah.
It's like, I'd like to wash my whites, please. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I get my first my first collection of clothes. Mm-hmm. They're wet now. And I run back up and I get ready to put it into the dryer. And suddenly, because the app has to connect to the internet to work with the machine, it stopped working. So it was like, okay, so I can't use quarters as backup. I need to get back to internet. So I can connect. All of this to say that I had to run all the way down my stairs to reconnect to the internet. And before it disconnected, run all the way back up to get it and swipe it to start the load. So I was like, all right, I guess this is just what I am in for the rest of this, because it took me maybe three tries up and down before I was able to get that dryer thing going. Then, you know, but the wash is happening. I'm in here working and I get the notification that it's ready and I'm finishing something up. And, you know, it's been maybe 10 minutes past the time where the app says that it's done, and the app is never accurate. It'll be like, your wash is done. And then you go up there and it's like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
So I've waited like 10 minutes past the alarm going off. I go up. Someone has taken my clothing out of the washer and put it on a ledge to put their shit in.
I
had
it,
more
I
stuff
it.
Lined up. I get it. I've done that when it's been sitting there
sometimes
for like 6 hours.
Yep.
I've done that. Whatever. It was 10 fucking minutes. It was 10 minutes. So now I have to keep running back and forth to make this happen. And also now I have the additional pressure of you're just getting in here. And so now I have to, you know, I'm just going to give up on doing the rest of this today because you've decided that you are using this now. As a result of all of the running back and forth, this was 2 days ago. I'm wrecked. I like my ankle.
Right, because you haven't
fucked.
Been able to exercise at all. You shouldn't
no,
be walking
this much.
No, that's
the most physical movement since March. That is like three flights of stairs each way, carrying stuff that I was doing at top speeds just to get my clothes to dry. So yeah, I am so sore. It is genuinely every step I take is incredibly painful in both legs. So,
wow,
that's my lemon.
Crazy, yay.
What about you? What's your lemon?
My lemon, it's just been a bad sleep week. I don't fucking know why. I'm just not sleeping well. I never
Me
sleep
too.
Well, but because it's hot and that's the worst. I mean, our house is air conditioned and I have a fan and all that shit, but I just haven't been sleeping well and I hate it. I did actually, for the first time ever, make an appointment with a sleep doctor. Actually, Dr. Sleep. Mike Flanagan. That's right. So I have an appointment with Mike Flanagan, who's going to, I think, extract my soul from my body and feast upon it to extend his own lifespan next week.
And give it to a lady with a hat.
Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson. Exactly. Yes. Who, by the way, was not playing a character in that movie. That's just what she does.
That's a documentary.
Yeah, that's right. No, so I've done a sleep study, but I guess I never saw a sleep doctor. I thought I did, but I just saw it was a pulmonologist, not
I was about to say, like, wasn't this a whole thing?
It was a whole thing, but it wasn't a sleep. I didn't realize that it wasn't a sleep spec. I mean, I sort of knew, but I didn't ever think to make a sleep doctor appointment with Dr. Sleep, with Mike Flanagan and Rebecca Ferguson.
So does he only show up in your dreams? It's like a Freddy Krueger type situation.
Yeah, he shows up in my dreams and we just kind of, we hang out, we go flying, we fly around the Grand Canyon, you know, we make balloons out of real animals instead of animals out of balloons.
That's cute. And then also out of your dicks, which have been elongated comically with penile traction devices.
It's like taffy, Layden. It's like taffy.
You're like twisting it and like, you know, I can't do the foley of like a balloon animal scraping against itself.
Squirk-a-squirk-a-squirk-a-squirk. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You and Mike Flanagan and your dicks are together and it's like, oh, it's a dog.
Yeah. So that's my lemon. I've said it before on this exact show. I've been sleeping for 49 years. It's arguably the thing I've practiced the most, and yet it is one of the things I am worst at.
Well, I hope Dr. Sleep takes good care of you.
I do too.
And
I
also,
think you will.
Once it's like cold at night again, I will be so pleased.
Oh, please. Cold and dark. This fucking getting light at 5:30 or whenever the fuck the sun rises. Fuck you. No.
Yeah.
Go back down. Too light. Too bright. Does your apartment get bright early?
Yeah, but at least the past couple of months when I do get up early, it's cool out and it's not too disgustingly bright.
Yeah.
It's the coolness before the sun actually comes out for real in the morning that's the real thing. Because if you're staying up really late, sure, it's cooler, but it's not the pleasantness of like an early morning. It's not 95 degrees yet, you know?
Yeah, totally.
All right, great. All right. That's lemon. Now it's time for peaches. Seeing as we do three of these every time we record, and also not much happens to me. I don't do a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot happens to me because of this device that I attach. Well, I shouldn't say.
Right. Yes. I have no such devices. So my peaches are pretty small potato peaches, which, you know, is the entire point of the practice. I just always come in with my like really boring ones and I'm like, man, who let me podcast?
Me.
It's true.
People don't know this, at the end of every show, I say, Layden, I give you permission to continue. And then we schedule our next show. But every day we have to re-up.
I'm constantly permission. At risk of termination.
Yeah, that's how I like to operate, by fear.
Keeps us honest.
Yeah, it's very Machiavellian.
My peaches are, my first peach is that I've been really craving Tootsie Pops lately for some reason. Mm-hmm. I just hadn't had one since I was a kid. And every time I go to the store, I like kind of keep an eye out of like, oh, do they have any? I don't need a whole bag of these. I just want like one. And I went to a gas station that I go to a lot the other day, and right next to the register.
I like that image. I was gonna pop down to the gas station, hang out for a bit.
Yeah, you know, we chill, we're friends.
Smoke some 5-hour energy drinks.
No. You snort the 5-hour energy.
Yeah, that's right. You smoke the monsters.
Yeah. Right next to the register, where it's never been there before, is just like a weird, suspicious box of Tootsie Pops. And I picked up one and I was like, I will take one. And the lady was like, you can get four for $1. So I got a bunch of Tootsie Pops. And what can I say? They're great.
It's great.
The universe provides sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My second peach is, the laundry shit sucked. I'm still paying for it physically. However, clean sheets. Mm. Does it get any better? Having that clean bedding, crawling in there, especially when you get the trifecta of like clean sheets, clean clothes. I just took a shower.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's that shower where sometimes you get that feeling where you get in bed and you're like, for me, it's always the ankles. I can feel my ankles like slightly sticking together because I'm sweaty or a sunscreen on or something. Fucking hate it. And it's never like, I wouldn't go to bed if I was like disgusting, but when you've just been a little bit sweaty and you lay down and your feet are sticking together, your ankles, it's like, oh fuck, that shower. Yeah. I love it. That's the key.
Yeah. Where you're like, your skin is all warm for being in the shower and you're just, you know, you're cozy. That's a great one. That one never gets old. And my final peach is, I forget if I mentioned on a main episode or a mini-sode, but in modding my Fallout New Vegas on the Steam Deck, I broke Blackjack. I didn't know what I had done, and I had no way to fix it. And I fucking love playing Blackjack in New Vegas, especially if you have a high luck stat, because it just makes it like you will get kicked out of the casino because you're making so much money. And I find that massively entertaining. I fixed one variable in a .ini file, and it worked.
Worked. Look at you.
I did so much troubleshooting last week trying to get this to work again. Nothing. Didn't work. I was like, this is fucked. I'm never going to play Blackjack again. One little variable. I changed a one to
what
a zero.
What variable? Did it have a name?
Well, it'll be like a bunch of words smushed together equals zero or one. It was something like, it was some setting that had gotten adjusted to like show the totals of your Blackjack hand, which is not a base game thing. And I think something about that having been set to one in the like, I'm not going to explain .ini files. Nobody cares. But it was a whole thing. And it was just changing that one thing that I had a hunch. I was just like, maybe this is it. And I didn't expect it to
maybe,
work.
Maybe, just maybe. Amazing.
No, this is just maybe.
Oh, there she is.
My entire, I'm covered in dog hair that is sticking to me with sweat.
Yep.
And now
I
she's
think the
doing
dog
that.
Might be the issue there, yeah.
No, I don't think so. I've been trying out this new device.
me too. Yeah.
You can do it. Wait, what does the image say? Fuck. You can use it in your regular activities at any time.
I plan to.
All right. Anyway, those are my peaches. You go ahead.
Peach one is, we have a new Starbomb single out today. This has come out. First new music
so
in
good.
5 years. Thank you. I really love it. So, go listen to the new Starbomb. But also, I love it, and it's nice to have new music out. Peach number two, last night I went to Trivia Night with some buddies, including friend of the show, Adam Felber. And we had a great time. It's like, you know, I've mentioned that I've been hanging out with some like guys roughly my age who are kind of local to me. And it's nice to have a group of like dad friends in my area.
And there's nothing guys your age love more than trivia with the boys.
Well, especially when you can trounce a bunch of young people.
Yes.
They did play, what was it? They played some song. And if it's out of our like musical knowledge, it's like, if there's an audio round and it's like, not, it's not like Taylor Swift, but if it's like, I don't know. I doubt that. I would probably recognize Chapel Roan songs, but most of these guys wouldn't. But it's very easy to find like recent songs that we just have no idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're, you know, you can only do what you can do. But it was nice to be at trivia night, and it was close to my house, so I walked there and then walked home.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which was amazing. And my third peach is I've been trying to write this thing for a while for Tre Magnifique, and it's been like I've had the core idea for this song. It has lyrics, which I will not be singing, but you know, it's for the holiday thing, and I've tried to crack it for a while, and right before we were recording this, I cracked it, and I was like, okay, that's it. Like, I knew the idea, I had the music, I had the melody, couldn't quite get the lyrics to cohere, and I think I figured it out. So,
wow.
And which is like, I need to do this now to send to Meowch for production reasons, because we're recording in 2 weeks. But yeah, feels good to finally crack this fucking song.
Congratulations.
Yes.
And maybe look him in the eye. Recognize greatness.
Yes, please. And large penisness. There it is. Yes. Admire me.
Do you see?
And it was, interesting about the way I cracked it was I did it kind of very, from like a very, 30,000 foot view standpoint. I was like, what is this about? What am I trying to, what's the overall message here? I was like, oh, it should be this. Oh, right. Okay. That explains why I was having trouble, because I had an incoherent idea of what the song should be.
That is such a good feeling.
Yes. It was like, oh, I just needed to ask a very basic question, which is like, what is this about? And I had forgotten to ask it.
Well, let me say, I can't wait to hear Deck the Balls with penile traction.
Yeah, with penile traction devices and my proprietary brand of ointment, which you apply inside the penis.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you have to. So you can't pee for 3 hours before or after.
Inside the cavernous body of the penis?
That's exact. Yes, exactly. Exactly the one. By the way, cavernous, I need to call a doctor, because cavernous is not exactly the word I would use.
Well, I mean, it's what the Mayo Clinic says about that strange bent dick.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying I need to go take some measurements to see if, you know, I've gotten another eighth of an inch or so in the last couple of years. Yeah.
The last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening to yet another episode. Really, I can't. I've lost it.
What, the dog?
No, just that I really threw me off to mess up the Peaches and Lemons introduction yet again. And so now I can't do
it. Well, you'll get it
podcasting.
In episode 233 or whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Next one's the charm.
Just remember, beautiful folks at home, you can use it in your regular activities at any time.
Anytime. That's a Brian Weck promise. Bye.
Bye.
Leighton Knight is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonKnight. Follow us on Twitter at Leighton Knight, on Instagram at Leighton_Knight, or email us at LeightonKnight@gmail.com.